What about it? Why do people go to church? Why do you go to church? Have you given a whole lot of thought? You know, I'm sure that there are numerous reasons that people attend church. No doubt some people attend church because they want to see their friends. And the second skit this morning that the youth put on sort of conveyed that a little bit, huh? The church is sort of like a big social club for some people. And then some people attend church, I think, because it's become a habit over many years. You know, their parents taught them that you go to church. And then, without a doubt, there are those individuals who attend church because they feel just a little bit safer. What does that mean? Well, you know, they see God as this great record keeper up in the sky, and every Sabbath that I go to church, he's keeping a record of whether or not I'm there, and it just makes me feel a little bit safer to go to church. But there's also people that attend church because they feel like it's an entertaining place to be. And you know, there's actually those people who shop around to find the most entertaining church. The most entertaining church. Why do you attend church? I'd like to suggest to you this morning that it is really impossible to know why I should attend church unless I know God's purpose for having church. What are his purposes for having church? You know, during the Old Testament times, God's church was the nation of Israel. It was a whole nation. And there in Exodus 19, verse 5, God said that they're a kingdom of priests, they're a holy nation. They were called out of this world, away from the world, with two great purposes in mind. And the first purpose, as you read through the Old Testament scripture, the first great purpose, and as you read the New Testament, was that the nation of Israel, the church of God, was to be like a light on top of a hill, a beacon on top of the hill, and it was to shine out to all of the surrounding nations, and it was to draw them to a knowledge of God. Was to draw them to God and who he was. Listen to Isaiah 56, verse 7. And this is speaking of the surrounding nations. And it says, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon my altar, and my house shall be called a house of prayer. For all people. It was God's purpose that his church, all of those who make up his church, were to be his representatives to the rest of the world. Paul speaks of them as ambassadors, that we are to represent him where we work, where we recreate, wherever we are to represent him. Represent him. And you say, well, here in the United States of America, so many people already know God. You know, I shared with my Sabbath school class this morning from a book that has just been published on some nationwide studies that have been done. And amazingly, only 50% of the people 50% of the people have any idea what the name is of one of the four Gospels. Can you imagine that? 50% of the people. Only a third of them know who spoke the Sermon on the Mount. By the way, who spoke the Sermon on the Mount? Only 33%. Folks, most people do not, even though they go by the name of Christian, do not read the Bible, are not acquainted with God's word. And God says, I want you to be my representatives. I want you to be my ambassador to your friends, your neighbors. You cannot talk about church without talking about mission. Mission is vital because the purpose of the church for being is to be God's representatives in this world. You know, we have a mission here at Lodi English Oaks Church. It's in your bulletin every week. It's on the letterhead of our letters that go out. It's in the newsletter. Anyone know what it says? Oh, yes, somebody has it there. To know Christ personally, to reflect his likeness daily, to share his message joyfully, and to serve him faithfully. The church has a mission that God has given to it. And when Jesus himself established the New Testament church, he gave them a great mission. One that we've heard over and over. He said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. In other words, the church, one of the key purposes for being the church is to take the wonderful news of salvation to our neighbors, our friends, to everyone with whom we come in contact. I would even go so far as to say that if I have no interest in reaching out to others, or if I do not know, if I'm not aware that I'm to reach out to others, well, I have really missed, to a large extent, the purpose of going to church. The purpose of being a part of the church. That is one of the great things, purposes that God has given for the existence of his church. The second reason for going to church, which we find throughout the Bible, and it's so important and so vital, that if you go over to the book of Revelation to chapters 13 and 14, you'll discover that it's the key word in those two chapters. It's the item that the great controversy in the very end of time is going to be fought about. And that is over that little word, worship. The little word worship. We are to come together to worship him. To worship him. The word worship appears some 111 times in the Old Testament, some 50 times in the New Testament, but that does not speak of all the many times that talk about God's people praising the Lord. Praising the Lord. One of the purposes of the church, in fact, the key purpose of the church, is to come together to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And as we come together to worship him, we are empowered, we are to be empowered, we are to be enabled to go out and to be a beacon, to be a light in their communities, to fulfill that other purpose. And you know, as I was thinking about this, I am so thankful that we have such a beautiful place in which to worship him. Aren't you? A place where we can come together to worship him and to praise his name. I hope that you have noticed these two items. This is what church is all about. But there's something very special about these two purposes of the church. Neither one is focused upon self. Did you notice that? One is totally focused upon God, and the other one is focused upon others, sharing the good news of salvation with others. It is not The purpose of the church is not to be focused upon self. It is not to be focused upon self. And yet, when self is a sinner, we can very easily become very disappointed in church. Did you know that? When we're focused upon self, when self is a sinner, the questions that surround church is then, you know, how does church make me feel? Do I feel happier because I'm at church? Does church make me laugh? Am I happy and joyful because of being in church? Is that the reason why I'm here? Is that the reason why I'm here? Well, you know, when you think of these two great purposes, most of us would say, well, there has to be more to it than that. Well, in the New Testament especially, but some in the Old Testament, we're given some of the functions and characteristics of God's church that enrich and make those purposes that he's given to the church possible. And I'd like to touch on just several of those this morning. The first, in the New Testament, we're told that the church is a body. Is a body. Listen to the Apostle Paul. He says, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into what? Into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. What a wonderful picture of the church. You know what the Apostle Paul is trying to focus on is that the body of Christ is to be made up of all kinds of people. Do you like that? I am so thrilled that there are all kinds of people in the body of Christ, from all different backgrounds, of different ethnicities, all kinds of people with different talents, with different gifts from the Lord. All of these make up the body of Christ, and they are to work together using their talents and gifts to achieve the purposes that God has given to the church. You know, on March the 3rd, we gave an invitation to our church family, to those who are willing to step out and risk, with the help of the Holy Spirit and through prayer, to start a new ministry for the Lord. And 31 of you, 31 of our church family, took up that challenge. And I would like to share with you that exciting things are happening, and that 90-day period is going to come to an end, to a close, the first part of June. And we are going to hear some wonderful reports of how God works in the body of believers to achieve his purposes in this world. And so that's going to happen around the first Sabbath of June. There's another picture that we're given in Scripture of God's church, and that is that the church is his bride. Jeremiah 3:14 says, return, faithless people, declares the Lord, for I am your husband. For I am your husband. What does that say about how God loves his church? What does that say? You know, I would think that anyone, all of us, would want to be part of something that God loves so very much, wouldn't you? God loves his church so very much. And in our scripture for this morning, you know, the Apostle Paul says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. And you know what? That is the motive. He loved us so much that in response to that love, We desire to return that love and to become a light for Him, to share the wonderful news of salvation for Him, and to take it and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And you know, brothers and sisters, He loves us in spite of our imperfections. Aren't you thankful for that? He loves His church as His bride. There's a third picture given to us in Scripture of the church, and that is a church that is moving forward, an army, like an army, to take the gospel to the whole world. It is organized. The church is organized to take the gospel to the entire world. Have you ever seen a baseball team that plays all by itself, each individual in his own home? And they get together once a year to play another team? That's impossible. That's impossible. God calls His people together. Not something that we do in the video clip. You know, one of the gals said, you know, we're to love one another, and you don't need the church for that. You can just stay at home. You can just stay at home and do it. But God calls us together as an organized group to overcome evil in His name, to march forward through the power that comes from the victory that Christ had upon the cross. And He tells us that this church, His church, is going to be triumphant in the end. And He says that I'm coming again, and I'm coming for My people. And then there in Mark 16, He goes on to tell about all of the great works that those who accept the gospel commission are going to work in His name. That's the church that He's going to take home. The Bible goes on to tell and to illustrate the nature of His church by describing it as a temple, as the Jerusalem above, as a foundation of truth. But this morning, I'd like to conclude with the church as a family. The church as a family. And some of the greatest passages of Scripture dwell upon this. Listen to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. For this reason, Paul said, I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Church is family. And I suppose that is one of the warmest and most thrilling illustration in all of Scripture of what church is to be, a family. Because it's in family, in the household of faith, as Paul calls it there in Galatians 6:10, that you and I find fellowship, that we celebrate each other. We celebrate important events in the lives of each other. Yeah, I hope that you all noticed the flowers this morning. Did you all notice the flowers? Lucy does such a wonderful thing for us just about every Sabbath. But today, there's in celebration of two special people, 40 years of living in happiness. Is that right? Joanne and Wally Cicada, right back there. And we celebrate those events. And so the church is family. We celebrate together, family. We celebrate together. We come together. Church is a place where we come to find encouragement and help. It's a place where we come for comfort. It's a place where when we are hurt, we should be able to go to find help for our needs. It's a place where we come together to know Jesus better. And it is a family which is found in the organized church, but it reaches on beyond the organized church. and encompasses all the followers of Jesus Christ throughout the world. That is a part of his family, the visible and the invisible church. And I'd like to suggest to you this morning that all of these functions of the church empower it to achieve God's great twofold purpose for being church. And that is to take the gospel to the world and to worship him in spirit and truth. I'd like to invite you to consider the thrill, the privilege of being a part of his family, a part of God's church, with all of its privileges, with all of its responsibilities. As we listen to our second graders and our third graders under the direction of Sharon Miller, and we also want to thank Audie Silver because she helped to put this all together. And so if all the children would come up front at this time. And also Lois, who has been helping. And I'd like to invite you to listen. The words will be put up on the screen. It's entitled, We Are the Church. We are the church. You may go back to your seats now. Thank you so very much. They only got those words just this week. Wasn't that good? And last Sabbath, I asked Audie if she would be willing to work on this, and she said, yes! And with the other teachers that helped, that was really wonderful. But isn't it a thrill to be a part of God's family? And I hope that every day of the week that you hold the rest of this family up before the Lord in prayer and that you rejoice in the fact that you are part of a family that reaches well beyond this little place here to encircle the world, and it reaches, as Paul says, as part of the family of heaven. Isn't that exciting and thrilling? We are part of God's great family, his church, and we are to be his representatives. We are to worship him in spirit and in truth. I'd like to invite you to stand as we have the benediction. Our loving Father in heaven, what a great God you are. And so long ago, you chose to establish your church here on this earth for a very special purpose, to worship you, but more than that, Lord, to worship you in such a way that we would be, that your people everywhere would be empowered to take the wonderful news of salvation to their friends, their neighbors, communities and cities, and to the world until Jesus comes again. Oh Lord, I pray that each week and during the week, and even as we meet in small groups together, that we might sense that purpose to which you have called us, and that you might fill us with your Holy Spirit to help right here in Lodi, in our own community, to enlarge your kingdom. Oh Lord, give us a vision. Give us a sense of mission to which you have called your church. In Christ's strong name we pray. Amen.